And we sat down there and talked. Wasn't long before there was quite a number of brethren come in, Brother Thomas, and just numbers of them. And I was watching the revelation of some things take place and went on talking about the Lord Jesus. And I thought how wonderful it is. I expressed it to the brethren. You know, we see, we walk after our sight. We live in the world of sight. And we walk after our sight. And that's our world. You know, we feel, we see, we taste, we hear, we smell. And the world of sight continues on. We live in that world of sight. But there is a place that you can obtain unto, to where you don't live in the world of sight anymore. And you don't walk in the world of sight as to the lust of the eyes and the lust of the flesh. But you move into another realm, another dimension, another mind. And then as you walk, you don't see through the natural eyes. You see through the eyes of your understanding. You know, a person really doesn't see through natural eyes anyway. You know, I've said this before, and I'd like to just express thought concerning it again. We're just here to talk about the Lord anyway. If Jesus was here, he'd just talk to you, you know. But we don't really see through our natural eyes as to the way that we feel that we see. We look at something and we say, well, I was like, I'm looking at the fountain. It's so beautiful. I see the water spewing up out of it. So refreshing just to look at it. The little birds, I see them going in and out drinking. I know the little pond's filled with fish. And I look at it and I think, well, I see that through my eyes. But in all reality, if I did not know that that was a fountain, if I did not know that was water, if I did not know those things as to a knowledge, then I wouldn't see it. Not really. I really wouldn't see it. Like you've heard me say, going down the road one day, talking to my little children, I've told this a number of times. Riding down the road, I said to the little ones, I said, you see those things out there? And we went on and I showed them different things and cattle in the field as we passed. They'd say, yeah, I see them, Daddy, I see them. And I said, do you really see them? They said, yeah, I see them. And then I started trying to teach them spiritual things. I said, now, you really don't see that with your eyes, do you? Oh, yes, they said, I see it with my eyes. I said, are you sure? I said, yeah. I said, well, I said, what is it? And they told me, you know, they'd see a cow and they'd see something else. Numbers of things I asked them. And then after a while, I picked out something that I knew that they didn't know what it was. And I said, what about that over there? I said, what is that? And they said, oh, that. And they looked, and I said, don't you see it? Oh, yeah, they said, we see it. I said, well, what is it? They looked, you know, and then they kind of got baffled, and they said, I don't know. I said, I thought you told me you saw it. Oh, we do see it. I said, well, what is it? And then all of a sudden, they began to get the idea that they really didn't see it. I said, no. I said, what it is, you don't see it. I said, you know, you see things with your understanding. And in that your understanding has never been exposed to that, then you don't see it. And you know, it really shook my little ones up. And that's the way it is, folks. You see angels through your eyes of understanding. There are angels round about you. And the angel of the Lord encamp round about them that love him. See, and you see angels through the eyes of your understanding. That's why Paul said the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you could comprehend the heights, the depths, the width, the length. See that you might see into the other world. I see into this world for one reason. And that is because this world is in my seeing compartment. It's in my heart. In my heart. The world is in my heart. That's why I see the world as pertaining to the natural. I see it because it's been placed there. God has placed the world in your heart as to your first birth. And so you see it. It's there. That's your world. That's your environment. You are imprisoned to that extent. That is your environment. That's what you belong to. That's what you are because of your thinking. I might say, what makes you think that, Brother Pike? Well, you take a man that's insane, that loses his mind. You know, you take a man that's having hallucinations. Take a man like that, and he sees things. A man that's having hallucinations, flashbacks from dope, something that's affected his mind. He said, come on over here. He says, I can't get across. That train's in my way. I said, oh, ain't no train there. Oh, yes, there is a train. You know? So, man, don't be crazy. Don't be foolish. As far as he's concerned, there's a train, and he can't cross that track. See, he's imprisoned by that. And that's the way that you are. When you are in the world of natural creation, when you're caught in the circumstantial environment of your surroundings as to tangible things, you are imprisoned by that, by your mind. Now let's look at it for just a minute, and we'll read a little scripture maybe. Someone would say, well, no, that couldn't be, Brother Pye. So now let's be realistic. They'll say, that man's crazy. That man's lost his mind. There ain't no train out there. But yet that man knows it's sure death to him if he crosses that track. As far as he's concerned, that train's right there. Someone would say, yes, but if he just come on across, there wouldn't be nothing there. No, it could kill him. Oh, somebody say, you're crazier than he is, Brother Pike. No, it could kill him. See, the way he thinks, the way he sees, he gets close enough to that thing, and the fear that would grip him, and that's his world, and it would kill him just like that. You say, but he could just come on through, Brother Pike. Okay, let's look at it again now from another perspective. If there was a train out there and you saw it, and he was on the other side of the track and he was crazy and he didn't see no train, and there wasn't no train there to him, you know, that was just a flower garden he was looking at, and he told you to come on over. And what would you do? Well, you say, Brother Pike, you crazy. I couldn't just walk through a train. This world is real. You can feel of it. Well, that's true, but on the other hand, Jesus walked through the wall. He just walked through the wall. Just like that man that you would say was crazy could walk through the train, Jesus walked through the wall. There was no more wall there than would have been trained for him. So, see, there's a lot to think about, folks. A lot to think about. So, well, Jesus was a spirit. Well, he said, fill of me, your spirit hath not flesh and bones as ye see me have. So then there's a lot to think about. Sometimes we think we know something. You know, when we don't know something as we ought to know. It's like scientists. Paul said, knowledge falsely so called. When Paul really come into understanding, he realized that that was just nothing at all. So this is why I'm saying what I'm saying. Is that there is another world, and the other world consists of another mind. Whatever the mind is, that's what the world is. And as to your world, it's your mind. As to your mind, it's your world. So the Bible said that God has set the world in your heart. From your first birth, it's not that you are in the world. The world is in you. And that's what makes you in the world. Someone will say, no, Brother Pike, I can feel me and I'm in the world. Well, that's a good way to look at it, you know, if that's the way you want to look at it. But on the other hand, if your inner life departs from your body, then where is your body? It can't dispute, it can't talk, it can't feel, it can't see, it can't hear, it can't taste. From dust thou art, to dust thou shalt return. What happened? See what happened. Where is the life? Where is that part that sees and talks and tastes, looks and sings and feels, gets excited, that jumps? Where is that part? See, it means that there is another world somewhere. There is another world, and that world that we're speaking of is a spiritual world. And this natural world is in your heart. And when that angelic being that's called you departs from that little tabernacle, there ain't no more world. That's it. That's it. You're just laying there like a slab cut off of a tree. What happened? The world is in your heart. When Eve slipped, when she made her mistake, she took the world into her heart. When she took knowledge from the tree of knowledge, that was a mind. That was a world. That was Satan. That was a satanic injection. That was of her own sovereignty that she did that. And when she took that into her heart, she was then in the world. But it could not be made manifest until Adam accepted it. The reason is because Adam was the commanding power and the commanding authority of that body. That was his members. And it had to get to the mind. It had to strike the heart. And when Adam finally yielded to it, then the lights went out. And then the Lord come looking and said, Adam, where art thou? Adam could have said, I am in the darkness. I am in the darkness. God said, Paul, turn my people from darkness to light. He could have said, I'm in the darkness. He said, where are you, Adam? Have you partaken of the tree? Now just think, folks. It changed just that quick. Adam was lost. Lost. Well, somebody would say, well, our Brother Pike, he wasn't lost out of the garden. He was still in the garden. You know he was still in the garden. Sure, he was still in the garden. But now think about it. The garden was in the east of Eden. And out of that garden grew trees. Strange trees. There was a tree of knowledge. Have you ever seen one of them? It would be a rare tree to see. You ever found the place where they grow them? The tree of knowledge, where you can pick knowledge off of the tree. And there was a tree of life. You ever seen one? Nothing like it. Just go up to it and just pull your big hunk of life off of it. Strange trees in that garden. So that means that there was something that you and I don't understand unless we can get in the mind of God. Someone would say, well, the garden, it just went away. Well, if the garden went away, why did it leave the rivers behind? The rivers that run out of the garden, it left them behind when it went away. Why did it leave the rivers behind? You ever thought there might be a good possibility it left the tree of knowledge behind and the tree of life behind too, since it left the rivers behind? See, there's something you and I don't understand unless the Lord speaks to us and revelates some things to us. So then, at that garden gateway, there was placed flaming cherubs, or cherubs with flaming swords, that is. Now, the thing is we know where the rivers are. But why can't we find the flaming swords and the cherubs? Where are the cherubs that was there at the gateway? Seemed like if we could find the rivers, we ought to be able to find the cherubs. You know, there's seraphims and there's cherubs, all kind of angels. I'm saying that again to say this, and that is that there's a lot of things that we don't understand unless the Lord tells us. That's why Paul, when he received a revelation, he said, pray that God would grant unto you the spirit of revelation, one spirit, many operations, that you might be able to comprehend the heights and the depths and the width and the length. So then when we say another world, what is the preacher preaching? Why is he preaching like he's preaching? What is he talking about? See, what is he talking about? There is a tree of life. There is a tree of knowledge. There is a cherub with a flaming sword. What happened to Adam? He was still in the garden, someone would say. Still in the garden. Why was he lost, though? See, this is another thing. Why was Adam lost? Why was he lost if he was still in the garden? The Bible said God walked in the garden in the cool of the day. Why then was Adam lost? Why couldn't God find him? And another thing, in that they had to make them clothing. If that garden was growing trees of knowledge and trees of life, where did they get the fig leaves? It was obvious that they put fig leaves on a natural body. And they obviously got some natural fig leaves somewhere. Well, there's just a lot of things that it would take the spirit of revelation to make known. Beautiful, if you've ever been down the trail, to find out those things and understand those things. It is so lovely. It is so beautiful. But anyway, I just want to say this, that in these things is found the great mysteries. Paul said, great is the mystery of godliness. Someone would say, let's eat, drink, shout, and have a good time, forget about all this. You know, there's nothing to it, and just a simple thing, and anybody can be a preacher, and all you got to do is take a good notion to preach. And if you take a good notion to preach and you feel like you can make somebody feel good, and they say, that's it. Give him a card, make him part of the work, part of the operation. But the Bible said, great is the mystery of godliness, and I am made a steward of those mysteries. And that's why that we talk like we do a lot of times. I am not against praising the Lord. I think it's so beautiful. I'm not against emotion, as long as it's godly emotion. I'm not against any form of worship that glorifies Christ Jesus. But my interest, my principal interest, is not to see somebody shout and somebody feel good. My principal interest is not to try to heal somebody, though the Lord has blessed us in numbers of ways. It is a glorious thing and it is a wonderful thing to bring healing to people. It is wonderful. But see, that is not my principal interest. My principal interest is to win souls, saving souls from the flames of the fire. And my principal interest is to perfect the church and bring the people together and bring them into the full mind of the Son of God as to their great, wonderful inheritance. Then in that, they automatically find salvation, healing, prosperity. And if we really had a chance to go into some of those things that we're speaking of, you would marvel if you've never been down those roads as to the great significance that you would find in those things and how satisfying they would be. I'm going to read just a little bit here, and if you like, you can read with me. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Now, I want you to think on this now. We sometimes speak of this, and we sometimes say some things concerning it, so that you can better understand what we're trying to do. Now, think on this now. Think real seriously on the things that we say. The Bible said, give the more earnest heed to these things that you've heard, lest at any time you should let them slip. And take heed how that you hear them, for as to your motives, as to your purposes, so that Satan can't misconstrue. So then notice here, it said, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. In the beginning. So then all of the world, without question, they go to this in the beginning. Unless it is some scientific something that gets wild about a nebula mass spinning out here in space that collected the dust and the gases and got in the whirl, and mama making her biscuits, rolling it, rolled off a biscuit here, and it was called Jupiter, and one it was called Saturn, and on and on and on, which is a great theory, you know. And back through the millions and the billions of years, you know, as the nebula mass spun and finally got to the chlorophyll and finally got to the vertebrate age and, you know, and the coal age and fossils and all these kind of things. But anyway, the only problem with that theory, when you do that and leave God out and you say it's just a nebula mass, you know, of gases, particles, and whatever, the only thing that's wrong with that theory is we got to figure out where the gases and the particles came from that made the nebula mass. So when we get into these things and we see these things, it's got to be, no matter how that you look at it, it spells one thing, and that is somewhere there had to be a God. There had to be a supreme power. You know, there is something, if your knowledge finds an origin, a place of origin or a beginning, it has to have something to work with. If it doesn't have something to work with, there is no beginning, there is no knowledge. Even science admits that if a tree falls in the woods and if there is not an ear to record the sound, then there is no sound. Someone would say, well, Brother Pike, that can't be. Well, it is. It's true. What they say is true. Because sound is a derivative or a word that is man-made. It's an application as to explanation, as to vocabulary expression. So then there is no sound because there was nothing recorded. And when you speak of the recording, you speak of a sound. And you use the word as an application. See, what we say in the beginning was God. The word God means object of worship. Jesus has called you gods. I'll make them come and kneel at your feet and know that I have loved you. So then he's called you gods, the object of worship, even bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. In a good thing, he said, I'll praise you. Now, God himself in a human body came and knelt before another human body, and God done obeisance unto God, saying to you and I that we should do obeisance one to another in the respect, the courtesy, the respect, the feeling that we offer one another. We've done it as unto God Almighty. Why is that? Because God is a spirit. So then when we say in the beginning, God created the heaven and earth, what are we saying in the beginning? God created heaven and earth. We are saying that this is the origin of things. This is the beginning of things. Not the beginning of God. God didn't have a beginning. There is no end to beginning with God, because God is the beginning. There is no beginning with God. God is, God was, God forever shall be. God is from everlasting to everlasting. So in the beginning, it means the beginning of the creation of things. It means your beginning and my beginning and their beginning. That is, if you are made, if you are made, if you are created, then that means your beginning. So in the beginning, God created the heavens and earth. Now, when I think about that, in the beginning, God created heaven and earth, my mind goes like this, in the beginning. But then I think, as I've said so many times to you here, if this is the beginning, God made trees and God made animals and God made all kinds of flowers and birds and God made a human being. And that is the beginning. Then my mind goes like this. What was before the beginning then? What about before the beginning? If that's in the beginning, then what about beyond the beginning? What went on before the beginning? What happened before the beginning? If that is the beginning, if the creation or the act of creation is the beginning, then what about before the beginning? This is the thing that I've been interested in a lot of times. Someone was saying, "Oh, Brother Pike, you want to keep your stability, you'll get off on the deep end." It is a little deep out there, I admit that. But the Bible said, launch out into the deep. So then, you would say, you don't want to get into those things, Brother Pike. Those are too deep. But yet the Bible said that the Spirit of God searcheth out the things of God, yea, the deep things. So then I say, what about beyond the beginning? Well, you say, Brother Pike, there's nothing beyond the beginning. Because the beginning means when everything started. So beyond that, there's nothing. But to me, it's like this. If there is something to be called a beginning, then there had to be something beyond the beginning to start the beginning. Does that make sense? How did the beginning get here? See, there's got to be something somewhere greater than the beginning. And it brought the beginning into existence. So the beginning is existence. But what about beyond existence? What is there beyond existence? Oh, there is something. Someone would say no. All there is. The Bible said all of the things of the world that you see, all of these things that you see, the Bible said that they are a type of something. In our day, in our hour, they are lying vanities that will vanish away. This is a world that Satan is the ruler of. It is a figment of imagination. It is lying vanities. It must pass away. Heaven and earth shall pass away. So what is in the beginning? The Word. The Word is in the beginning. When we say Word, then we're coming back to a sound. We're coming back to an oral expression. In the beginning was the Word. That Word came forth. That Word put on flesh. That Word was made into a human form. That Word, He, the Bible said, in all things was made by Him and for Him, and without Him was nothing made that was made. So then, beyond the beginning, there was the Word. There was the Word. And the Word said, Father, restore unto me the joys that I had before thee, with thee, before the world ever was. So then there was joys beyond the beginning. And then to Job. Job, where was you? The Bible says, at that time when the morning stars all sing together, where was you at that time when the sons of God leaped for joy? Where was you? Well, there wasn't no sons of God before Job. It's for sure there was no sons of God back there nowhere before Job unless it was beyond the beginning. But seeing the foreknowledge of God, God created us. God made us. God saw us in the future leaping for joy before we ever came into the world. We were ordained unto this great, wonderful thing. Before of old, ordained by foreknowledge. And these great things as to sonship was seen. Given to us in Christ before the world ever was. So then the beginning of the creation of God. Someone would say, it was right here, Brother Pike, with Adam. Then why does it say that Jesus was the beginning of the creation of God? Why did it wait till way down to Calvary when the Son of God was born? In the fullness of time, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law. And then the Bible said, and He was the beginning of the creation of God. Why was God so late getting started with His creation? What was Adam if He wasn't the beginning of the creation of God? See, a lot of things that we need to think about. A lot of things. It's great mysteries. A lot of things, but yet all of them have answers. All of them have understanding. So then they're not without understanding. So then we say back beyond the beginning. And I say this a lot of times to clarify things. Back beyond the beginning. See, was they there at that time, as we would use human expression? Because we have no other means of approach under these things except human oppression, expression. Was there at that time or beyond the beginning when there was no time? Was there in that great beyond, as we say, something that we still don't know enough about? Something that we're not still, or we still are not well enough acquainted with? Is there something way back beyond the beginning? Something so great and so mighty that all of this spring out from it. Everything that we are and everything that we know spring out from that. See, is there a God? There is a God. And that God is an invisible God. And Paul said He is a spirit, the God that I serve with my spirit. Is it possible that there was a world before this world? Is it possible that there was a world before this world? There very definitely was. There was a world before this world. What kind of world was it? And I use the term world because we don't have any other application. We don't have any other vocabulary expression to acquaint your mind with what we're trying to say. So we have to use that that's available to us. So then we say in that great world, that great beyond, that great world. Was there a world? There was a world. What kind of world? It was an angelic world. An angelic world, a great, wonderful angelic world. A world of Michael and a world of Gabriel and a world of the seraphims and a world of the cherubs and a world that even Lucifer was involved in. There was a creative act of God. There was an angelic world. That world, where was that world beyond the beginning? Where did this world come from? As to the beginning, it came from that world. And the Bible bears that out because the Bible said we understand that all of these things of the world, all of these things that we see was made by that which is not seen. And Paul said, and all of the invisible things of God from the beginning, from the creation of the world, are clearly understood by the things which do appear. So then Paul said, all of these things from the very beginning, all of the invisible things of God, from the creation of the world, from the beginning, as Genesis said. The word Genesis means beginning. All of these things, the invisible things of God, are clearly understood by the things which do appear. That's why Paul, receiving a revelation, used the terms allegories, types, shadows. When he spoke of Sarah, he said a type of New Jerusalem, of heavenly Jerusalem, the mother of us all. When it spoke of Hagar, it spoke of a type of old Jerusalem, who is the mother of children of bondage. When he spoke of Abraham, it called him the father of the faithful, which related back to God, who has those wives. One of them is this world, as to a wife of Mother Nature, being married unto them. That is to bring forth as to the first birth bond children. And then God, having heavenly Jerusalem, the new world to come, as the Bible said, bringing forth her free children. And all of them are free children. So then, are we bonds children or are we free children? We are free children because we're not of the world. Paul said, do you desire again to be in bondage to the beggarly elements of the world, having escaped these things through the death of our Lord and Savior? Now we're children of another world. Now then, we should have another mind. We should enjoy the other world. And this is why that I use the terms I did as to looking through the eyes of understanding. One spirit, many operations. Do I really see something with my eyes? As it has been said of the 22 conductive nerves from the eye to the brain. Is that the way that I see? It's for sure that I cannot see the things of God that way. Because Paul attempting to see that, just that light, he went blind. A tiny measure of that light. And then as I said in the message the other night, when this great light comes forth, all of the world flees away. There's found no place for the mountains. There's found no place for the seas. And the Bible said at the coming of this great light, even heaven passes away. The heavens which are now, they pass away. Peter spoke of the heavens then that was, that they passed away. So then there is a second heaven, a first heaven, there's a third heaven. See, there are worlds in the plural the Bible speaks of. A lot of things. Great is the mystery of godliness. And Paul said, I am a steward of that mystery. Then we ask ourselves the question, but Brother Pine, should we know about these things? Does God intend for us to know about these things? Oh, somebody says there are just some things that God don't want us to know. The devil tells you that. God never told you that. You never got that from God. See, the Bible, to the contrary, said we have an unction from the Holy One that we should know all things. And the Bible said, all that God has made known unto me, Jesus said, all that my Father has made known unto me, I have made known unto you. So then, to the mind of Christ, we have all things. If I have the mind of Christ has all things. Now, the thing is, my human being part, my man part, this part of me, that is considered to be the body, the person part, as the dictionary describes it. This bodily part can have only what it receives through the inner man. God working through the inner man. God will give the outer man just as much as he's willing to submit himself to or to conform to. In the grace and knowledge to grow thereby. So this man on the outside can go on to be perfect. It can go on to the full measure of the full stature of the perfect man, Christ Jesus. Not always laying the foundations of repentance over and over, but going on with God. Getting up into the great heavenlies with God. Getting up into the places where other people have never been. See, so then, I say beyond the beginning. So we see there's a world there. And we see the invisible world has created or made manifest itself. It's invisible for us by a tangible substance to bring it into what is referred to as a world of sight through understanding. And so then we see one another. We feel one another. We're in this world. But then I say again, remember, the world is in your heart. The world is in your heart. It's a knowledge, even the tree of knowledge. It is in your heart, in your environment. You're imprisoned by your environment. Your circumstantial environment makes you a prisoner. And Paul said you are in bondage to the beggarly elements of this world. Your thoughts, your desire, your hunger, your thirst. And when we transcend this realm, when we move into another dimension, when we come to a place to where we let God's word come into our heart, then this is what we find. God spoke the world into existence. And by his word he said, let there be, and there was, and today there is. And we see all of these things. And so the world came forth. But now God is speaking again. You go to the house of God to hear God speak. And then God starts speaking. And what is God doing? God is speaking the world out of existence. The same God that spoke it into existence is now speaking it out of existence. And so then God says something, and God brings forth something, and the light comes, and the dissipating starts. Everything starts dissipating as the light grows brighter, and the line vanishes and begins to move out of the way. And the moonlight's not sufficient anymore. The day star begins to come over the horizon. And the shadows begin to move away. And you say, hey, that thing isn't like I thought at all. My, I see it so plain now. And my, it's so beautiful. It's so much more life. We were just kind of in an imaginary world. My, look at that thing. Look at the beauty of it. Look at the radiance of it. See, the shadows is coming off. God is moving away the veil. He rent the veil at Calvary. And then he gave us a seven-dimensional breakdown as to the church ages, as to comprehending, as to understanding, as to moving the shadows, as to coming into this great world. And so we're transitionally moving as that's looking into a glass, as with open face, being changed from glory to glory into his very image, into his very glory, into the image in which we was made, as to the Shekinah glory of Adam. And yet this glory within us, the revelation of the Son of God breaking forth little by little, coming out, changing out of being, soon to appear as it was with Jesus, the raiment glistened, standing on the Mount of Transfiguration, there with Moses and Elijah. See, we are moving from one world to another world. We are changing from one world to another world. We are moving into this great, wonderful world of God. Moving into what they call the world of tomorrow. See, but I keep telling the audience, is there a tomorrow? Is there a world of tomorrow? Or is this the world of yesterday? In that it was before the beginning, you would be more fitting to say the world of yesterday. But is there yesterday? And this is where we get confused, as I say so often. See, is there a tomorrow with God? There is no tomorrow with God. Is there a yesterday with God? There is no yesterday with God. We know for sure that the sun comes up, the sun goes down, and we have a daylight and we have a night. But that is for a typical purpose, to show us the invisible acts of God in his invisible ways. So then does the sun really go down? No. You know, and I know that if we get in a plane and we follow the sun, we'll just follow it all the way around the earth, and it'll always be day. You ever been to the land of the midnight sun? I have. Over at 12 or 1 o'clock, it's just as bright. People walk around taking pictures, whatever. See, so there is no yesterday and tomorrow. To us, the yesterday and tomorrow is that the sun came up, the sun went down. Darkness came, and then the sun came again. And that's all there is to yesterday and tomorrow. So in all reality, there is no yesterday and tomorrow. It's just an intellectual application from mankind. And God has allowed that for types and for shadows while we were babies, to cause us to have stability, to let us be in a realm of stability. So then, God has given that to us. See, that gives us a stability. Yesterday, tomorrow. But then when we grow up, is there a yesterday and tomorrow? No. We come to know that there is no such thing. There is no such thing as a yesterday and tomorrow. Now, this really helps us. When we get to the place to where we realize it's only a type, that we lay down, we die, then we resurrect. We lay down and we die, and then we resurrect. That's what it has to do with. See, but when we come to the truth, we are made to know there's no yesterday and there's no tomorrow that helps us more than anything that we could find. Because we realize how that we have to think about God. If I think about God, and I've said this numbers of times, if I think about God and I say, well, you know, 1,000 years ago, 2,000 years ago, 4,000 years ago, I say, and then the beginning. 5,000 years ago, you know, that much time has elapsed. And then when I get back to the beginning, I say, wait a minute. There was a world beyond this. Beyond the beginning, there's a God. And God is what started the beginning. In the beginning was whatever he made. That was the beginning. So then I say, but my God, how old are you? How long have you been living? Where did you come from? How did you get here? You know, that's my little finite mind. That's our little computerized way of thinking. So then I say, where did God come from? Who is God? How did he do this? How long has he been here? And I say, my God, it's been 5,000 years. Lord, have you done all these things in 5,000 years? My, what about before then? How many years was it before then that you've done some things? And I say, well, 100 years. Oh, I say, no, no. He was there 1,000 years. I don't know. He was there 2,000 years. And I say, well, what about before that 2,000 years? I say, well, let me see. He was there 100,000. I say, well, what about before the 100,000? Then I say, well, was there 500,000? I say, oh, my God. He was there before a million. He was there before a billion. He was there before 10 billion times 10 billion and billions and trillions and trillions. Oh, my God, that drive me crazy. And when I get through, I don't know any more about God than I did when I started. I don't know how old he is. I don't know where he come from. I don't know what he is. I can't figure him out. I don't understand him. And I'm more confused than ever. You understand what I'm saying? So then what do I have to do? Now I say, God, you said I could know all things. And here's something I can't even begin to try to understand. And then I hear God gently whisper, don't be upset. Don't get disturbed now. He'll say, where you're wrong is that you have been acquainted with time. But now you're moving out of the era of time. And with God, there is no time. See, there's no such thing as time. And then we just, you know, we just get all shook up. We think, oh my God, you know, what does this mean? You know, and the angel, he sets his foot on the land and he sets his foot on the sea and he raised his hands to heaven and he said, I swear by him that liveth forever and ever that time shall be no more. I said, what are you talking about? Time ain't going to be no more. You know, what do you mean? So see, that proves that if time isn't going to be any more, there was back beyond time an era, as we use the human terms, when there was no such thing as time. So then that means that we are coming from eternity to eternity. Then time is not the great thing that we're speaking of. Someone said time is of essence. Time is of nothing. Time is nothing. That's another man-made application, like rapture. Time is another intellectual definition. That's all it is. It's something to give us stability. I want to say this again. I've said this to some of you, spoke to you about some of these things, but they're catching it now to where it'll go to others, and that's why I won't take my time and speak of a little of it. Where does time come from? Where does it come from? There was no time. There was no time until man brought it into existence. What did time do? It killed man. Why is there death? Death didn't come by God. The Bible said death is the enemy of God, the last one to be destroyed. Death came by man. How did death come? It come by time. Time and death runs hand in hand. If there's an eradication of time, there's an eradication of death. If there's an eradication of death, there's an eradication of time. That's why that the angel uses the term, one foot on the land and one foot on the sea. and swearing that time should be no more. Why is time no more? Because there's no more shatters. Time comes from shatters. Time, there's no time in the world of light. The world of light is just one great day. With God, there's just one great day. And when we say day, what is a day? Somebody said a day is 12 hours. Well, why does the Bible use the term that a day with God is as 1,000 years? So then with God, there's no such thing as time. There's no such thing as death. Shadows doesn't fill God's world. And to have time, you must have shadows. You must have daylight and you must have dark. And that's why that we look back at the little old clocks that they made on the earth. Man knew that there was a shadow that was falling. He had a daylight, but he didn't know how to use it. And when he drawed that little old thing on the ground and put the little old fin on the ground and watched the sun as it come up, and he would watch that little old shadow from that fin. And finally got him a little circle and he broke it down into a numerical thing of 1, 2, 3 to 12. And then he would watch that shadow and he could tell just how long he had to do a thing. Like a 1, 2, 3, and the shadow would be around to 3. And then a 3, 4, 5, he said, I'll do this between 3 and 4 and 5. And he watched how long he did it. And he practiced that until he became a creature of time. And time is like an accordion that's open up. And then from one end of time to the other end of time, as the accordion that's closed up, as the calendars, as the clocks, as the almanacs, throw them away, as we would say. For time shall be no more, no more, no more. Time shall be no more. For the angel shall stand on the sea and the land, and time shall be no more. So then we see that time is here because of Eve eating of the forbidden fruit. A time. There never was a time with them. Never. God didn't say you'll live so long and then die. There was no such time. But he did say in the day that thou eatest thereof, a time shall be, for ye shall die. And the Bible speaks of the tribulation as a time's time and half a time. So then, we said the other night, as a time to 1 year, as times as to 2 years, and a half a time as to a half a year or 6 months. So then we see that God is not a God of time. Lucifer is the God of time, because Lucifer hath, as the Bible said, but a short time. He is a time creature. Because of what he did, he became a time creature. His life took on limitation. Because of what Eve did, because of what Adam submitted to, their lives took on the time element. They become time creatures. They found a terminal point in their life. But folks, when we come into this everlasting light and this everlasting gospel, and this everlasting life, we are no longer creatures of time. We are no more creatures of time. Solomon said there's a time for everything under the sun. See, because the sunlight has to do with time. But when we can realize that even the sun goes around, and the only darkness there is as to one planet being between the sun and another planet, when we realize the moon as to the way that it functions, and if we had time to go into it, we would detail a little of it. But then when we realize that, we understand that shadows are the problem. Shadows are the problem. Joshua said to the sun, stand still. And he said to the moon, stand still. And he eliminated the shadows till they fought the battle. They went over the Jordan. As long as the mind of Christ comes into me, it's daylight. And then when the worldly mind comes into me, it's darkness. And so then there's daylight and dark. Daylight and dark. And Joshua said, stop that. Stop that. And there was no more daylight and dark. He said, I got a battle to fight. I don't have time to do that. What we need to do is get into the mind of Christ and stay in the mind of Christ. Walk in the light as he's in the light. Stay in the light. And don't mess with that old shadowy mind. Don't go back there to that old glutton world. Don't go back there to the natural things. Walk in the Spirit. And the Bible said you'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Stand there. Get across the Jordan of that old intellectual reasoning. So then when I say, how old are you, God? How long have you been here? See, I've got to understand. God says, understand me like this, son. That there is no beginning with me. There is no ending. I say, but Lord, I'm lost. You done lost me. I can't understand that. And then God says, think of it like this. With you, there is no beginning. And with you, there is no end. And then I begin to search. And I think, now wait a minute. There's got to be a beginning with me. There's got to be an ending with me. And then I begin to think, and I begin to get in the mind of God, and the Spirit of God begins to search out the deep things of God. And then I say, now wait a minute. If I'm a God, is there a beginning with me? Does God's have beginning? No. I said, well, if I'm a God, is there an end with me? Does God's die? No. So I say, well, then, I'm part of God. I'm bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. As he was, so am I and he. As he is, so am I and he. Then I was with God before the world ever was. I was with God before the world ever was. He gave this to me in Christ before the world ever was. And I think, now wait a minute. That's what it is. Me and God, we're one. You know, as God is, so am I. I'm not a time creature. I don't get up with the sun and go to bed with the sun. As a matter of fact, I really don't. Sometimes I'm on my knees when the sunlight comes up. So then, I think, I'm not a time creature. I'm not supposed to be born and then die. I'm not that. I pass from death unto life. I shall never come into condemnation. I've been translated into the marvelous kingdom of God, of which there is no end. So then I think, well, I understand that better now. Why do I want to say God is 1 day old, 2 days old, 5 days old? I'm not 1 day old, 2 days old, 5 days old. Why do I want to say God was 1 day yesterday and 2 days tomorrow? Because I'm not 1 day yesterday and 2 days tomorrow. See, you say, what do you mean, Brother Pike? I mean, if I think of God as being God, he's just God. He's always been God, as we say. I know this is hard for you to get down in your heart and mind of what I'm saying. You have to have God to suddenly inspire you, and you move into that, and you sit and you say, oh my God. See, but God is like a perfect state of being that doesn't have to have an origin. There is no beginning with him. There is no end with him. So I said, well, that confuses me, Brother Pike. But it only confuses you because in your mind you got a beginning and end. In your mind you think of a beginning and end. It's your thoughts that confuse you. In the mind of Christ, Jesus comprehended God in his mind. That's why the Bible said, let this mind of Christ be in you. See, to realize that God is, not was, not going to be, he is. God is. Said Moses, go down there and tell them, I am. Not I wasn't going to be, I am. See, God, just like when the daylight's here, if you didn't have a clock and you didn't know the night was coming, in the morning it would be daylight. In the evening it would be daylight. At noon it would be daylight. And somebody would say, how old is daylight? Say, what are you talking about, how old is daylight? You know, if you didn't know nothing about hours. You'd say, what are you talking about, how old is daylight? Daylight is daylight. It's just daylight. It's daylight. It's daylight. It's, you know. Somebody said, well, wait a minute now. 1,000, 2,000, 3,000, 4,000. Whoo, God, it was way back yonder. Way back where? Daylight is here. Daylight's not back there. Daylight is here. Somebody said, oh, no, now, Brother Pike. Oh, yes, it is, see. Daylight? Daylight is here. Somebody said, well, it's not daylight right now. It's dark. No, you just got lost off, that's all. You just go over the hill and you'll find daylight still there. See, daylight is always daylight. It's always there. There ain't no beginning to daylight, and there ain't no end to daylight. You understand what I'm saying? It's around the clock, as you say. So the only thing that you got that tells you daylight and dark is your thoughts. You've been programmed to that. So then, it's like passing over the international date line. So then, when you become a Christian, You pass over that international dateline. See, when you become a Christian, you go out into God's world. You move into the world of light. You're no longer children of darkness. You are children of light, not children of darkness, but you are children of light. God said, turn my people from darkness to light, Paul. All of us others lie in vanities. That's Satan. That's the world of darkness. That's why there is a night, to show you that this world is a world of night. But when we get into the daylight, that's why there's a world, that is why there's a day, to let us know that we move into the world of daylight and there is no more dark. We just follow the great day star wherever he goes, and we're always in the world of light. You understand what I'm saying? So then, if I had to stand before God this day, and you would say, Brother Pike, it's been X amount of years, thousands of years, Brother Pike, and God, maybe he's forgotten this thing. Maybe he won't be so upset because it's been so long since the crucifixion of Jesus, hundreds of years. So then you stand before God, and God stands there and looks at you, and all of a sudden it, you know, if you're not a Christian now, all of a sudden it dawns on you that you just killed Jesus and turned around from the bloodstains and found God right in your face. You say, what do you mean, Brother Pike? I mean, there's no yesterday and today with God. There's no tomorrow. There's no long stretched out. This time that you call time, way back. There's nothing there. It's a figment of imagination. You're standing here. Jesus has been crucified. You turn around and there's God, and he isn't like it. One day, just one day, it happened and there he is. It happened and there he is. He was there watching all the time. And you did it. You understand what I'm saying? God doesn't have days. God doesn't have birthdays. God doesn't have darkness and light. God is. God is a state of being. But you say, that confuses me, Brother Pike. Because what are we going to do with yesterday and day before and 2 years and 3 years? All that's figment of imagination. Wash the stuff out of your mind. Get it out of your mind. You say, but Brother Pike, how can I do that? And time shall be no more, no more. 1 foot on the land, 1 foot on the sea, and time shall be no more. The shadows are gone. No more shadows, no more darkness, no more death, no more time. I'm not a time creature. I'm not planning to die. I'm passed from death into life. And the Bible said, a mystery, ye shall not all sleep, but be changed. What are we doing? We're moving toward the change, glory to glory. And with open face, we're moving toward the change. You understand what I'm saying? God is not, it's not a matter of whether he's been here 10,000, 10 billion, or whatever. There was never a 10 billion to start with. There was never a 10,000 to start with. There was a yesterday and tomorrow to start with. It's just God. Can you comprehend it? It's just God. It's a state of being. It's a state of light without age. No such thing as a long stretched out thing. It's just there. God said, I am. And that's the way God is. See, so you can comprehend him. You don't get all frustrated and say, God, oh my God, 10,000, 10 billion, what was he doing? How many worlds did he create? What did he? See, it's just God. You understand what I'm saying? That God, that present state of being that is, that was, forever shall be, just a state of being. If everything just went out of existence, God would still be there. See, God, and that's the way it is with you and I. When we're born of God, we belong to God. What is that beyond the beginning? Where is that beyond the beginning? What is the beginning? The beginning of time. Why does he say the beginning? It's the beginning of time. When man was lost off and God said, Adam, where art thou? See, and we're not going to try to get into some of the mysteries, but we're going to say this, lost off. Then time started. The day that thou eatest thou, thou shalt surely die. See, and time started. But folks, we've come over there. We've grown up now. We're people of God. Why do we worry about time? Time. Somebody said, well, I got to go to work at a certain time. I got to do this at a certain time. Fine. Well, that's okay. No fuss with you. Fine. But when you get far enough down the trail and you get a hold of God, though God is an understandable God, God will work with you. God knows you've got to work with humanity. God knows that you've got to eat. God will allow you to follow the time principles. God will work with you. God will understand you. God's a good God. But when you get far enough down the trail, you're going to be this kind of fellow. You don't care if the stars fall out of heaven. You don't care if it's 12 o'clock by the clock or 1 o'clock. If God says do something, they won't see you over the hill over here, and they won't see you on the job over there, and they won't see you around. You will just be moved by the Spirit of God and led by the Spirit of God and do the things of God. I hear people so many times. I run into this different place out through the years. And somebody says, when I retire, that is after, they could have said it like this, after I've used myself up for the devil and I've fed on garlic and onions and I've made bricks for so many years until I've done nothing but fed my belly and now I'm half dead and I'm too old to do something for God, then I'm going to do something for God. I'm going to retire. And I heard of a case just recently where a man said that, and the man died just as he retired. I know another man that did that from the Navy. Got him a house, got everything, and then he died. I know another man that told me, he said, Brother Pike, as soon as I get my little house paid for, I'm going to do something for God. I thought you better do something for God right now is what you better do. But he kept his little house. He'd done something. He worked. Had prayer meeting in his home, planning for his ministry. And just as he got ready to carry his ministry, his little boy, I believe it was, got drowned in the lake behind the house that he gave his life as to the purchase of the grounds. And he's brokenhearted. So then, you're going to come to a place to where you're going to be led by the Spirit of God. See, God said to Moses, go down there and get those children out of the land of Egypt. Get them away from that bondage. Pharaoh's enslaved them. I want them to be led by the Spirit. I said, but, oh Lord, what are we going to do about garlic and onions? And how are we going to feed our bellies? I don't worry about that. You seek the kingdom first, and all these things will be added. Out into the wilderness, and there they went from day to day, year to year. And God built a commonwealth, and God took care of them. And the Bible said not one of them was sick. And their feet didn't swell, and God took care of them. Somebody would say, hallelujah, Brother Pike. That's the kind of person I am. I don't pay my debts. I don't work. I don't do nothing. I just follow myself. I'm one of them followers. Yeah, I know. Sad to say you really are. But you're going to come to a place, not as to a lazy people, somebody that won't do anything, but you're going to come to a place to where, even though you are a working man and a working woman, that you're going to realize the greatness of God and the greatness of the power of God and who God is and this great wisdom and knowledge and understanding that you preordained to have. And brethren, you're going to get faith like you've never seen in your life. You're going to have faith like you've never had in your life. I mean, you are going to have faith in God. You're going to really have something. You know, we preach faith to somebody. We say faith this and faith that and faith this. And if we lost one day on our job or 2 days on our job, our faith would go down like the Titanic. The only faith we got is in that salary. Someone would say, well, Brother Pike, I got to pay on my home. That's good. Finish paying for it so you can lay it down at the apostles' feet and give all you got. Well, if you ain't got it, you can't give it. But if you get it, it'd be a good thing to give it. You understand what I'm saying? Why do we make preparations in this world for the flesh? The Bible said, make no provisions for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Why then do we do it? All of our labor. Somebody said, I've got to labor, Brother Pike. Why? The Bible said, all of your labor is for your belly because your belly craves it of you. And the Bible said that he put the serpent on his belly. He said, but Brother Pike, what would I do? I don't know, maybe like Elijah, go on a 40-day fast. The angel baked him a cake, and after that, he didn't eat no more for a while. Maybe don't need no more for a while. Folks, you know what I'm saying? Is that with our foolish thinking, our programmed minds of having things our way, we've gotten away from faith. God fed them in the wilderness. God took care of them in the wilderness. God watched after them in the wilderness. God made provisions in the wilderness. And folks, don't get the idea that I'm telling your husband. You ladies, don't get the idea. I'm telling your husband they need to quit working and be lazy. I despise the thoughts of a lazy man. I despise that kind of thing. The Bible said if a man won't provide for his own, he's denied the faith and he's worse than an infidel. When I speak about leaving off with college and all these things, I'm not condoning ignorance. I say that so many times. But the Bible said they all of them are of a good understanding that are of God. See, when we apply ourselves, we get into a place that professors don't even know nothing about. They've never even seen this place. I had a professor tell me one time, I believe it was in the Carolinas, I was talking to him. He said to me, he said, man, he said, this must be from God. He said, I ain't never heard nothing like this in my life. See, so then God has the way. God has an understanding. And God is wanting you to follow Him. It's all right to work on your jobs. It's all right to do those things. But don't place your faith in your salary. Don't get under bondage to a job that you can't move when God says move. You can't stop when God says stop. Don't get in under some kind of influence that's got control of you to where God can't motivate you and move you as God wants to move you. Folks, don't do that. See, stay of sovereignty. Stay with God. Walk with the Lord. Do the things of God. See, let God lead you. God will provide for you. God will take care of you. God will make your cup to run over. You understand what I'm saying? So then we want to get out of the world of time. We are a different people. We are seeing. We are comprehending. Our eyes of understanding see different things. We are living on a different plateau. We are living in a different realm, on a different level. We are in a different place. Just as there is a difference between the rich men and the poor men. They live on a different level. So is there a difference between people and sons of God. This is a high plane of living. All of that's a type out there. See, this is a high plane of living. We're sons and daughters of God. Somebody say, I want to be a billionaire. I wouldn't give you 15 cents to be a billionaire. What's being a billionaire? Somebody said, all of that stuff, Brother Pye. You ain't got nothing but what's in your head. Tonight, if you have 15 Rolls Royces and 14 Cadillacs and 15 plants over here and 35 lakes, and it'll all be in your head. You couldn't do nothing. It'll all be in your head. You say, oh, I could ride by and look at them. Well, you can ride by and look at them anywhere. There's lakes everywhere. Rolls Royces. See, all you got is what's in your head. That's all. So having food and raiment, be there with content. See, if God gives you a little place to stay cool, if it ain't nothing but under a shade tree, enjoy it. If God gives you something cold to drink, enjoy it. God gives you something to eat, something to wear, enjoy it. That's all you need, because that's all you got anyway. Somebody said, boy, you don't know, I got it stacked up in the bank, Brother Pike. I tell you, I've got it, like somebody says, I've got it for a rainy day, and I've told them a lot of times, I said, well, be sure the rainy day will come. You stack it up, and God will give you a good rainy day so you'll have an occasion to use it. Say, I've got it bad for hard times. Well, stack it up. God will bring you some hard times to see that you use it. What you should have done was invest in God. You should have given to God. Should have sold out to God. Should have done something for God. Labored for God. That's what you should have done. Forget about the things of the world. Forget about that. All you do is feed your wife's belly. Feed your belly. Feed the children's belly. And then the wife, she spreads out like a palm tree. Are you listening? You lose your physique and the children spit in your face and say, I don't like home. And you've really accomplished that, ain't you? You say, but son, daughter, don't you see what I got? I don't want it. You hypocrite. You understand what I'm saying? So then, let's get in our right mind. Let's get our right thinking and get our thoughts together. And realize that God is doing something and that we are foolish people to get entangled with the beggarly elements of this world and get our minds and spirits under bondage to the things of this world. That's foolishness. God doesn't want us to do that. So then, what should we do, Brother Pike? Follow Christ, love the Lord, and do the things that God wants you to do, beloved friend. Let's love the Lord. Let's walk with the Lord. Let's go on with the Lord. Let's meditate in His laws day and night. Let's cast down imagination and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's invest in God with our time, with our substance, and whatever. And let's make our minds to be that supernatural mind of God. Not carnally minded, getting over the Jordan and getting into that spiritual world. Walking in the Spirit, being spiritual, thinking spiritual, talking spiritual, fellowshipping with one another as to these wonderful spiritual things. And what a time we will have. What a time we will have. Forget about time so far as the times of this world. And let's have what we call a good time in God. And I say that because we don't have any other words or any other expressions except our feeble little computerized, formulated thinking to express God. He's so great, so far beyond our expressions. So then let's get in God. Let's forget about when we was born and forget about dying. And let's forget about yesterday, today, and tomorrow. And let's forget about all of the things of the world as pertaining to time. And let's get into that one great eternal day. We sing that song, "This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Let us enter into the rest of God." Let's get away from the world and enter into His rest. And the Bible said, and He rested. And on that day, He rested. That great day of God. Let's enter into that great day of God, that one endless day of God. And then, folks, we can rest. For the angel is going to set one foot on the land and one foot on the sea. And there's going to come a message, and there's going to come a proclamation, and there's going to come something that's going to say, "And time shall be no more, and time shall be no more." And He's going to start calling to them creatures that are not time creatures. He's going to start calling to them people that are not time creatures. And He's going to call them front and center, as we say. Let's stand together. There's a lot of things I'd like to say tonight because I feel like I just got started. But anyway, I feel like doing it this way. You love the Lord? And we're not going to give an altar call tonight. You can come to the altar. If you'd like to come, you can come to the altar. We're delighted you're coming. But we're moving on down through camp meeting. And in moving on down through this, we're trying to coordinate people and get their minds into a different era, on a different level, and bring them into a different place to where they can understand what we're saying. Because we're fixing to have a meeting or two here and there, and we're going to explain some things to people, and we're going to get into some specifics we've never got into before. Because there is a roundup time, as we say, an in-gathering. And we're going to have this to where we can do something for the Lord. And that's why I did that the other night. Someone thought I got too hot when I went out. Now, I wasn't too hot. I'm not too hot. Now, I feel like I could go 50 miles an hour and just be breezing along. I'm telling you the truth. Someone said, "Oh, Brother Pike, I think you about whipped out, ain't you?" Whipped out? My lands, I don't feel like I've done nothing. I feel like right now that I could run a foot race and preach 3 solid hours without letting up. I really feel that way. See, because, as I say, we're moving out of the time era. So then when I do things, I'm not doing it for that, but I'm trying to do something differently. Brother John and I are working together on some things, and Brother Taylor and the others that had down there today, working together to do some things. We have been laboring here for quite a long while at Bethlehem. We've done quite a number of things as to what we could for the Lord. See, we have come to what you would call it a birth. A birth. Now, when I say that, I know that's not all of you. I know that. Some of you are so natural-minded and carnally-minded as to eating and drinking and homes and air conditioners and lollipops and going out to dinner and all these kind of things until you could never be birthed as a son of God. Wouldn't be no way. You're too ritualistic. But on the other hand, there are some of you that have made sacrifices, financially speaking, physically. You've fasted, you've made efforts, you've submitted, you've tried to conform, you've changed your way of life, you've cut off things, you've left things out of your life that had a hold of you, and you've come a long, long ways. And there's been a birth, and you've come into that great world of life. Now, in that has happened, and here at Bethlehem, we've done that. Now then, Bethlehem is to take on a new way of life as to a different perspective. And that is not as to a little thing of being a little into circle, as to building a fence around the babies, as to keep them out of the roads and keep the animals away and keep them from getting hurt, keep them out of the neighbor's yard. You know, you've grown up now to the extent that you've come, as we say, to a bar mitzvah in the sense of being about your father's business. And in this, it requires effort. It requires moving around. It requires going somewhere. It requires doing something. And you that are not coordinated with us, you that are not in sequence with the move of God, or there is not, you know, you haven't formed what we would call a continuity, you know. And you could never be part of this. Now, there you will be, some of you will go along with it, and hundreds of people out there and thousands of people, but that doesn't mean they're part of it. See, but you that are, you that have been processed, you that are those that love the Lord, you that are the sons of God, you're to be about your father's business. Now, this is no game, folks. You know, if my dad asked me to do something, I had great respect for my dad. If I said, "Yee, Dad, I'll do it," then I wanted to do it. See, so this is no game. The God of heaven, the heavenly Father, has something that he needs done. And that is, he needs his will done on earth as in heaven, that he might redeem the earth and all that's in the earth. And he might bring it to that place it's supposed to come to for him to set up his kingdom and him to have rule over these things. Whereas Revelation 11:15, he sounded, and the kingdoms of this world became the kingdoms of God and of his Christ. So then that's what we're fixing to do. We're fixing to make a move. And in this move, I wanted to wait till camp meeting was over because I didn't see anything in that before camp meeting. Now that camp meeting's over, we want to frequent a place or two. And we want to set up a little meeting here and a little something over here and different places. And not for you to be running all over the countryside and get killed or something happen to you. They hazarded their lives for the name of Jesus. And you're going to be in jeopardy a lot of times, whether you stay home or whether you don't, just going to and fro to work. They have wrecks all the time. They get killed. My Joseph, just driving over to Athens just the other day, came to a crossroad right there at Richland. You know where it's at? Broad four lanes, smack right into the side of a car. So see, it isn't that. At the same time, he has a wreck going to Athens. Gilbert and Gerald drives down into Mexico and back, and down into Mexico and back, down into Mexico and back. Didn't even have a crash. And he runs over to Athens and he has a crash. So see, it isn't that. It depends on what the Lord has outlined for you, how much you watch, how much you pray. Joseph wasn't seeking the Lord. He wasn't praying. He wasn't watching. Gilbert and Gerald was trying to follow the Lord to the best they knew how. God took care of him. Man, I had a vision praying for Joseph. God took care of him, kept him from hurting. But see, moving in those places, maybe a tent meeting or whatever, but it's going to be different. It's going to be, we always reach out to get people, but this is going to be something to coordinate people. That's why Michael is taking his trip around the world. Mike Bradley is taking his trip around the world, and I know a lot of times men, when they get out there, they get off base, and I have a problem with them like I did over in India. But the Lord still worked his purpose. And you that want to be part of this, you that want to help with this, it might be one way, it might be another, it might be in prayer and fasting. It might be in helping with the finance. It might be that you want to go. Whereas in these meetings, that's a certain meeting. We'll be letting you know from time to time. And we've got some things here that we're going to press on this end that we haven't pressed before. Now, you know the little video that we've got here, the little video operation that goes over the campground. I hope I got this right. We, for a long time, have had it connected with the church, but not to the extent that we could use it. But now, if I understand right, it's connected, is it, Chuck? To use, okay? Oh, I beg your pardon. I didn't know that we was on TV. Okay, so we're using it right now. That is, it's going into the homes now. Okay, it's going into the homes right now. Now, we've had it to where... We're going to have it to where it would go into all of the homes on the campground, about 60 acres in here. And we've had it to where we could do that from the tower quite a long while, and we've done that. But now it's here at the church where right now, as far as I know, if mom's down there, whoever they got their zone, well, they can see what we're doing up here. Some of the people have a little problem coming to church. Well, on this, from time to time, we're going to boost that thing. And whether we make connection out yonder or not, we can if we want to. We got it fixed where we just connect in the facilities and just go right on all around the countryside. But whether we do that or not, for our personal use as the virtuous things and things for God and for Bethlehem and then to spread out with, we're going to start flashing a few little things along and posting a few little things along and use it like a news media as to what we're doing to let you know where you won't be in the dark about things. And where you'll just be right up to par every time we go to make a move or do something. And where you can plan for it. And where you can program everything for it. And we're going to let them out yonder know so that they can plan and program for it. See, so we're going to try to do that. And you that want to be a part of it. Now, you've joined us in quite a number of little things that we've done. And then, of course, you come up the other night and you stood up here and told Brother John that you felt like you should be a part of this. So, if you really meant that, then that means that you're going to be called on. You're going to be called on to see what you really want to do from time to time and how that you really want to help and see if you really want to go. And I thought I'd make mention of it at the end of the service tonight. There's about a midweek thing here. We've got another day or two. Actually, tomorrow's supposed to be the end of camp meeting, but we've got a few more days to probably go on. I don't know if we take Saturday off or what, but anyway, we're going to move on a little further. And I want you to think this over, because we're going to do it immediately after camp meeting. We're going to start moving immediately after camp meeting. And it's up to you as to what you want to do and whether you want to be a part of it and whether you want to do something for God. The Lord is coming. The end of the world is here. And what you do for God is the only reward you're going to have. It's just whatever you do. That's all it is, folks. And that's why Paul said, I labored more abundantly than all of them. Is because he knew there was a reward in labor. The Bible said, and there is reward in all labor. And that God is not forgetful of our labor in the Lord. In that we do and have ministered to the saints of God. All right, that's all I want to say to you. I just wanted to make mention of that tonight. I made mention of it to some of them today. And I want to make mention of it to you. And then we're going to enlarge upon it. And as we enlarge upon it, we're going to try to get you a little brochure or get you a little information from the sacred desk. And we're going to try to get Michael to work with us to where we can project this thing over the little TV screens. I hope yours is working all right. Ours works excellent. And where we can just kind of just be right there before you to know all about it. You know, and it'd be so good just sitting in the home there and just have a right straight conversation with you, all the writings of whatever, how we project it. And then you can make preparations and you won't have to say, well, did Brother Pike say that? Is that right? Are we to do that? I don't know. Like a lot of times you get mixed up. See, and you don't know just exactly to a T what we're doing. Is that all right? All right. Some of you, I'm sure, won't want to be part of it, and that's okay. We love you just as much. You can keep the home fires burning and do whatever you want to. It's okay. But we got some of some of you that are evangelistic, the Bible said make full proof of your ministry, do the work of an evangelist. And I'm always trying to do the work of an evangelist. No matter what I do, home, pastor, whatever, I still try to be evangelistic in it and hurl the message around the world through every medium and every power of source that I can, as far as through electronics or radio, television, whatever. Let's stand together. I think it's going to be a beautiful thing. I think it's going to work out beautifully. Brother Woods is greatly interested in it. I'm interested in it. Brother John's interested in it. Others are interested in it. Brother Conrad says from Louisiana, he's very interested in it. Brother Thomas is interested in it over at his place. And Brother Roy is interested in it. And numbers of others on and on. They're interested in it all around the countryside. Brother Thomas was telling me today that for his meeting up there where he's wanting us to come, he said, I've already contacted more than 300 ministers, Brother Pike, from here to California. And this is what we're planning to do, is work together in the ministry with ministers, through ministers, and many people that we have contact with. And we'll be using WLAC 40, if the Lord's will, out of Nashville. And we'll be using the Caribbean Beacon that goes into the islands for it. And different stations, different places, different things, TV and whatever. So you work with us, you pray, settle it in your heart as to what you want to do. And let's get together and do something for Jesus. All right. Let's just bow our heads together. Once again, I'd like to get Brother Woods to come up, if he would, and dismiss us tonight. I want you to think on this thing and remember Jesus loves you. Remember Jesus loves you. And then he wants to help you. And he wants to use you. And he'll utilize every bit of the ability that you will lend to him to utilize. You can grow up into great men and women of God. Brother Kim is still working on the air conditioning. He was going to have it ready tomorrow. It may not be ready. Hope it does. But he's just about got it ready for that side. And I believe with the results that we've had on this side, once we turn both of them on, I believe we'll get some cooling. I certainly trust that we will, because they're big, powerful units. All right. As our Brother Woods comes tonight, let's consider Jesus.